Andrew Westacott's a bit of a tiger, so they tell me in the boardroom. Gets things done. He gets out there and gets what he wants, and the Australian Grand Prix is what he wants, and it's back in 2022, and he's been good enough to join us, the CEO of the Australian Grand Prix. Andrew, good morning.
G'day, Half. Yes, I am keen to get it back, and it is back in April 10th next year. So long time between Grand Prix. In fact, it's 3 years since we had the last F1 Grand Prix in Melbourne. So too long between drinks.
When you say that out loud, Andrew, does it make sense to you? Can you believe what you have to say these days? It's going to be 3 years between races?
Yeah. Put into perspective, we had them there and it was on the morning of the Friday the 13th in 2020. So they were ready to race in 2020. And of course, that was the start of the pandemic. And I remember talking to the media thinking, well, we're going to be back the following year, but it didn't materialise in 2021. But the way we're going in Melbourne with vaccinations and just the opening up of Melbourne to the world again, which is well and truly necessary, we've got a good plan in place for F1 in Albert Park.
I think we all look back into that 2020 edition and the drama that was unfolding the weekend that was going to be race weekend for the Grand Prix. And it started the whole situation. You're right, the whole COVID world changed pretty much that weekend when the teams took off and the drivers took off early. It was unbelievable drama. I imagine the 2021 version that you would have been trying to get up, that would have hurt probably a little bit more. The 2020 would have been a bit of a shock and, you know, we're not quite sure what we're dealing with here. But I imagine at the end of 2020, Andrew, you would have thought 2021 was almost a no-brainer.
Well, that was the expectation. But the way amazing things turned so quickly, and it was two MotoGPs that we weren't able to hold down at Phillip Island, so fans couldn't get to see Valentino Rossi race for the last time, and Jack Miller and Wayne Gardner's son Remy Gardner going so well. But we'll live to fight a day down at Phillip Island next year. And the good thing is now, Harp, we've got Daniel Ricciardo starting to find his way in the McLaren. Lando Norris, his teammate's doing pretty well, and we'll have a redesigned circuit ready for the fans as well.
Andrew, when you're sitting there and the race hasn't been, are you sitting there working out, one, how to get it back, or you're sitting there working out how to make it better?
See, all of the above. You know, you only get 4 days to put on a show that's got to bring people from around Victoria, around Australia, and in normal years around the world, and you've got to refresh it every year. And one of the things we've seen is that there's a lot of new circuits on the calendar for Formula One. Miami next year, but Zandvoort in Holland this year was an absolute spectacle, and Silverstone had 140,000 on race day. So we've got a lot of ground to catch up and do things differently, but good opportunity to reflect, put some new facilities in, make the design changes, and, you know, do a lot of things you've got to do in a COVID world.
Now, can you take us through those design changes? Are they in effect to make the race more exciting, to make the drivers quicker? What are the design changes and how will they impact the race?
Well, one of the there's design changes that we've done to the circuit, and there's also design changes to the cars, which has been in the offings for 4 or 5 years, and that'll come to fruition globally. But the ones we've done on the circuit was that they come to Melbourne every year and say, we love the race, but it was very, very light on overtaking just because of the dynamic of the Albert Park track and the inefficiencies of being able to overtake in the cars that they've currently got. So we had to do a lot of different things because you can't alter the lake or the sporting club locations or where MSAC and Lakeside Oval are. And so essentially camber changes, widening of corners, the removal of a bit of a useless chicane down on Lakeside Drive, massive changes at the foot of the lake, which was turn 13, and it's all designed to get overtaking and better racing. And we're also making an asphalt change as well, because after 25 years, the circuit was a little bit tired, and you can do a lot with the abrasiveness of asphalt on a Formula One spec tyre, and it all adds to the raceability and the intrigue of racing around Albert Park.
So, Andrew, when a golf course makes some changes, they bring in an architect and they make the changes. When it is happening to a racetrack, is it something that you guys come together and determine? Is it something that a higher body says, look, Andrew, we want to see some changes and this is what we want to see? How does the process take place?
Adam, you hit the nail on the head, because we've actually talked about the golf course analogy, and, you know, so often the pros will come out and say, you've ruined a good golf hole, and you've got to get a lot of input from a lot of people. So there's we've had local companies involved with Mark Scaife's had some involvement. Mark Webber, who's on our board, has had some involvement. Damon Hill and David Coulthard, previous winners, have had input. But of the current crop, Michael Massey, who's an Aussie guy who is the F1 race director, sat down at particular times with Daniel Ricciardo, Sebastian Vettel, Lewis Hamilton, and we looked at particular aspects that we could change and we needed to change, and got all their inputs along with some track designers, Herman Tilke from Europe. And with all those and the sum of all the different parts and the different inputs, we were able to make the best of what we can do, and that is camber changes, corner widening, adjustments in one particular area at turn 13, and we think we've done the best we can. It'll be very good.
So, Andrew, with quarantine still unknown and up in the air a little bit, we've seen over the recent weeks the issues that Cricket Australia have had with the English cricketers, but how that's worked out. Is there any idea how that may potentially look next year for the drivers and crews?
Yeah, there is. Like all international sports calendars, they're very, very well refined. They're exacting in their demands when it comes to the scheduling. And Formula One's got the biggest season in history next year at 23 races. Season will open in Bahrain. It'll go to Saudi Arabia a fortnight before us. And then it comes to Melbourne. So it's more of an operating regime where they'll come in set terminals at the hotel, set terminals at the airport, come into the hotels and the circuit in an operating regime which still protects their continuity, because they've been able to operate in 41 races. By the time they come to Melbourne next year, they would have operated in 41 races successfully through 2020, 2021 and early 2022. So they'll operate in some form of bubble. They won't be having a 14-day quarantine at all. That's mutually agreed already. And we'll go through the detail over the next 5.5 months. But it'll be safe for the teams, it'll be safe for the public, and we'll also have big crowds.
So, Andrew, one of the questions I wanted to ask you is regarding the date. Now, obviously, the date a little bit later than what has been the case in the past means it clashes with the AFL season. Is that a consideration at all, or is it just one of those things that you've just got to now fit into what you're told?
It's been a consideration in recent years because we've been able to get free air, because in non-COVID times there's a lot of flexibility. But in 2022, giving us a maximum amount of time to make sure we're ready, giving consideration to the international calendar and also the timing of Ramadan, the two races before us need to happen before the commencement of Ramadan in 2022. And so, when you're juggling, as Formula One do, the finalisation of 23 different races, when you're looking at some triple headers, you're looking at logistics of a global nature, you're looking flight times and so on, one of the things we had to do was fall into line with that international calendar. Now, final dates are never set for future years beyond 2022, but for 2022, we're on the 7th to 10th of April, and very pleased to be back on the calendar.
Have you spoken to, or do you speak to, the drivers when you're finalising the dates? Do they have a representative as part of these conversations, or is it just the FIA?
They have huge representation, but it's via their team principals going directly into Formula One. Not so much with the FIA, although the FIA, through a body called the World Motorsport Council, ratify it, but really it's a sign-off on the team principals, and there's two triple headers next year. One of them's pretty close, where you've got three races in sort of the heartland of Europe, but on one of them, I think they're going from Sochi's involved and Singapore's involved and one other faraway location. So you've got to have more of the logistics and the teams signing on to it because of the huge demands on their personnel.
And will we get, what sort of percentage crowds do you reckon?
Well, I'm more thinking of the 50 to 100, and that's in the 100,000s, not 50 to 100.
People.
The way we're heading, and if you look at what they've been able to achieve overseas, whether it's NFL and college football in the US, but you look at what the UK did in the middle of their summer, British Open, cricket test series, Wimbledon, and also 140,000 at Silverstone, and that's what, where Melbourne's got to be aiming. And we've got to be looking at big numbers, and we intend to get big numbers with the cooperation and support of the government.
Now, very, very importantly, I've found myself watching more F1 than ever because my daughter's into it, Andrew.
So good,
It's become a very good thing for us to sit on the couch late at night on the weekends and watch and spend some time together, which is nice. But we're learning more about certain cars and certain tracks and how they suit and how they don't. And I need to know from an Australian sports fan's perspective, does this redefined, reconfigured circuit, resurfaced circuit there at Albert Park suit our man Dan and the McLaren?
Well, he did have some input, as I said earlier on, and he did get a win in Monza this year. And the other thing that's pointing in the right direction is Lando Norris, from being sort of someone who was not really in the points to being a potential race winner in Sochi, where they had a bit of a boo-boo, as you would have remembered, with the change to the tyres, and sitting fourth in the championship. Look, McLaren's got a chance. They've won at Albert Park on previous occasions with people like Hamilton, Coulthard, and also Mika Häkkinen. So, look, I'm always optimistic about Daniel, and he'll have a crack, and he's getting better and better in that car. So you bring your daughter along half, as long as you're not coaching one of your fantastic footy teams. We make sure there's not a clash on the Sunday afternoon. You can come along to the Grand Prix.
I'll get the fixture to have us on a Friday night, if that's the case, Andrew. We'll sort that out, mate. Don't you worry about that. And last one, I can before I let you go, our man Oscar Piastri is dominating F2 at the moment. Can you see him getting a seat?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Oscar, because he is dominating F2. He won Formula 3 last year. He's leading the Chinese driver with three races to go in Formula 2. Mark Webber, who's his manager, is saying keep an eye out, because there's still a spot up for grabs at Alfa Romeo, and maybe Oscar is finding his way in there again alongside Valtteri Bottas, but maybe he's also the understudy to Fernando Alonso at the Alpine team. And in either way, it might be that Oscar is down in Melbourne in some way, shape or form, and hopefully as a person who's won Formula 3 and Formula 2 in consecutive years. So he's a great young gun.
He certainly is. We love his company on our program too. We're riding his wave of success at the moment as well, Andrew. We can't wait to get ready for the F1 GP at Albert Park next year, April 7 to 10. The date's locked in at Albert Park. We can't wait to have it back on the streets of Melbourne. Good luck to you, mate. Nice to chat as always.
You too. Thanks, Adams.